This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Eric Stokeby 4th Generation, Missouri Meerschaum, and the Scandinavian Tobacco Group. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How are you doing tonight?
You know, I'm doing well. We, it's raining. It's coming
Dude, you are not lying.
A gully washer here in Jackson, Mississippi.
Whoa, a what?
A gully washer.
Is that a thing?
You know, it's raining cats and dogs. That's a thing.
It's raining.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is true. Look.
It's raining real heavily, and you know, the quarter shopping center that the Country Squire has been in since 1970, we are the oldest tenant in this building. And this building, we love it, but it's very much, it's kind of a dive. And so as we're sitting here getting ready, there's like, you know, we hear these waterfalls
right
in the background, and Bo's like, what's that? And it's like, oh, it's just raining. And he's like, in the shop? And I'm like, yeah, in the shop.
there's no rain, you know, coming down in this area. That's
not
the main
not
thing.
This area. We did have a light bulb explode in the front of the shop a few minutes
ago.
That was
did
exciting.
Happen.
It
was
exciting. Yeah.
I've never seen that happen
before.
Yeah,
people pay good money to watch stuff like that. So you got that for free tonight, Bo. Maybe our listeners will get lucky and we'll have it on the air.
It's absolutely terrifying. No, but it is. I mean, it's a nasty, nasty day out there, but makes for some good smoking weather, all things considered.
I'd agree.
We were talking about how, like, right in front of the door, in front of the shop here, the way that the complex works, all the water, like, washes right in front of the door.
Yeah.
And I was saying, that's nice. It locks the customers in.
And keeps
them out.
Keeps them out. We've been asking them to fix that for at least 15 years, and every time we complain, they're like, we'll get to it next month.
Well, so, as long as it's over a decade.
Right, yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
They're very consistent on that. So, what's going on with you, man?
Man, you know, just taking it easy, putting the feet up, not doing... No, that's never the case.
I was about to say, all of that is lies.
Yeah, that's never the case. Now, you know, this morning, I was walking out the door and to go to a meeting, and my eldest child starts throwing up all over the place.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry to share that on the thing, but here's the deal. So she throws up, and so she's sick.
Right.
And so you know, you get a sick day when you're having an upset stomach.
Yeah.
And so I knocked out my meeting, came back to the house to stay with her, and you know, she was just jumping on the couch, and she was just like, you know, bouncing off the walls and everything else. I'm like, this kid is not sick. Like, I was like, did she make herself do this? Like, what is up here?
Right.
And so, you know, I'm driving her to the store and everything else, and I'm you know, she's just having a good old time and saying, and I'm like, all right, now you're supposed to be sick. I was like, how would you like for lunch? How'd you like pizza? Or chocolate cake? Like, oh, I want pizza, chocolate. I was like, oh, well, I forgot, but you're sick, so you can't have that. I was trying to get her to confess that she was not actually sick.
Yeah, you're
sick.
Sarcastically kind of making fun of your daughter.
Yeah.
Like, trying to say, hey, you like, oh, we're going to eat pizza and ice cream since we're sick, and your
stomach
can handle that, right?
Yeah. Here's the problem. As soon as we started talking about it, she just... Round two, all over the car. I mean, it was just, I felt
that's
terrible,
disgusting.
Man. I mean, just father of the year right there.
You're like, you're so sick, you can't eat this and this and this. And like, oh, quit vomiting.
Yeah. No, it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. I apologized profusely, sang to her and got her cleaned up. But I felt so terrible, man. It was.
Someday your tiny daughter will not be tiny anymore. And she'll be of age where she can smoke a pipe, perhaps. And,
right.
And the pipe can be its own type of medication for her.
So, there you go.
Which is a lot better than other medications that some older people use.
There you go. Fair enough. Actually, I don't know, man. For an upset stomach, I don't know that I'd go for my pipe. But I guess some people do.
Maybe some whiskey.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
You
know. I mean, it depends, right?
It certainly does. I'll tell you when I am going to go for my pipe.
Is when you're drinking whiskey?
No, when I'm in Chicago.
Oh, that's exactly right. Which is coming up in just a couple of weeks, man.
Man, we are just
I'm so excited.
Weeks away from the Chicago Pipe Show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is happening. This is going to be happening, of course, April 30th.
Chicago.
Pipe Show.
In a couple weeks here. I'm so excited, dude. Like we've discussed, I've never been before, and we're not going to get to see a whole lot of the town, you know, because we're going to be at the Pipe Show, which is kind of out a little bit. But, man, we're so excited to get to meet, you know, the brass tacks of the, you know, or the, I, how do you say, like,
it's
the,
br- I don't,
the
creme
de, not brass tack, the
creme de la creme.
The creme de la creme, the bee's knees.
The top tier.
Of the pipe world.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so excited.
There's us, and then like way up here, there's like all these folks that you're gonna meet at the Chicago Pipe Show.
Yeah, they've stuck us in a corner somewhere.
Look, we're like scraping the bottom of the barrel. Actually, I don't think they have stuck us in a corner. Or if they did, I think that it's gonna going to be a very nice corner.
Oh, yeah, it'd be a very lavish corner.
No, I'm looking forward to it.
But it's well above our means.
that's definitely true. Look, it's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, April 30th and May 1st, the Chicago Pipe Show. Already seen some of you guys tweet and Facebook in, letting us know that you're going to be there. We cannot wait. You know, don't feel shy. Come up, say hey. I listen to your show. I hate your show, and I hate both of you. Or if you feel the opposite,
you're not going to say that.
But you feel the opposite. We'd love to hear that as well.
We're really codependent, so don't say that to our face.
Yeah,
just
say
it behind
our
back.
Yeah.
Or do it in the true Southern way, and like turn around and then say, "Let's pray for them." Boy, we sure do think those guys are lame.
That's about right.
Bless their hearts.
bless their hearts. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Look, we hope to meet a lot of you guys while we're there. We will certainly be recording, gathering audio. We've got. We actually were just talking about it before the show. We got some great shows leading up to next week.
I'm excited.
We have some great shows leading up to the Pipe Show.
Yep.
We'll also be recording while we're there. We may even kind of put it out there in terms of when we'll be recording. In fact, the best way to keep up with where to find us and what's going on will actually be to follow us on Twitter. So if you're not already following us at Squire Radio, that's going to be your best bet. You can also follow us personally at The Real Bo York, at John David Cole, that good stuff.
Yep.
But at Squire Radio, we'll be keeping you up with our location and what events we will be at and what's going on. So we definitely hope to meet several of you there and look forward to bringing you a lot of great content from the Chicago Pipe Show.
Man, can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Other than the roof falling in with all this rain, anything else eventful going on here at the shop?
No, not a lot, man. We're just kind of trucking along. It's been kind of a sleepy March going into April, which has been ticking up just a little bit.
Yeah.
So we're happy to be here. It's a beautiful time of year, except for today. And things have been really nice around Ye Olde Pipe Shop.
Well, the weather's rough, but we've got a great topic to discuss here on the show. But first, at the top of the show, let's go ahead and tell you about our sponsor this week. You know, we mentioned it last week, but we've got Eric Stokeby, fourth generation, sponsoring the show with just some absolutely gorgeous products.
Yeah.
The 1882 Founders Blend. You know, actually, I think I mentioned this last week. You know, he's got this series of blends and pipes that are all kind of generationally based, which makes a lot of sense if you consider the history of the Stokeby family.
Yeah. It goes way back. Of course, Stokeby is, just synonymous with, really high quality in the pipe world. And if you are a pipe connoisseur or collector, you're going to have products in your cellar and also on your pipe rack that are from Eric and his family. But we're just really happy to have the 1882 Founders Blend. What he's done here is come out with a Latakia and Oriental blend that's just got a variety of Virginias and Kentucky burley in it, and it's just a classic English smoke, really tasty. Comes in a 100 gram or a 40 gram tin, and just all as you can expect from the fourth generation tobacconist and Eric, just really nice packaging, and it'll be something to you'll be happy to have in your cellar.
Well, the other beautiful thing is, of course, not only does he have these great tobacco products, but also some great pipes as well. Again, carrying on that generational theme with the 1882. Now, John David, how would you describe that pipe shape for these particular pipes?
Yeah, I think, if you look at a shape like that, I typically will call it like a brandy. Some people will call it kind of a volcano, but I typically will refer to it as the shape of a brandy. And with the 1882, you've kind of got a canted brandy, something. I think a volcano would have probably a wider bottom.
Yeah.
It's just a real handy, classic style, but with kind of a Danish flair to it. So very handy shaped pipe. It's one of those that has a substantial size briar, but with a medium sized bowl and just a very nice slight bend on the stem. So just a real attractive pipe, something that if you want it, something that looks classically Danish but isn't going to take up too much room or be way too gaudy. I think this is certainly a pipe you all look into.
Yeah, look, check out his products. They're really, really gorgeous. FourthGenerationTobacco.com is the place to find them. And hey, let them know that you heard about them on Country Squire Radio.
Yep.
All right, man. Appropriate that the 1882 would be an English blend.
Yeah, that's right.
Given that what we're talking about tonight, we are, for the second time ever, doing a top three.
Busting it back open, man.
Yeah.
This has been a lot of fun to be able to kind of pry into different aspects of pipe smoking and picking the top three.
And we are, for this blend, for this top three, we're doing top three English blends, Cherry-O, Governor.
You sound like you're out of a just an awful movie.
Pip, pip, cheerio.
Well, you know, we are
tea
talking...
Tea and crumpets.
So are we talking, like, Southern England so, here? Are we so talking? Offensive. Are we talking... Yeah, I mean, there's British people now that are, like, you know, stabbing themselves in the eyeballs because of listening to this.
Yeah. They definitely don't want to listen ever again, that's for
man,
sure.
Man, no. Yeah, man, we're talking about English blends. We're talking about the top three English blends. We thought that we'd bust that out and honor you with our best English accents. So... which I haven't given mine yet.
Oh, wait, well, you got to put it out there.
You just have to wait for mine.
That's pretty good. You had kind of a Harry Potter thing going
that's
on.
That's all
there.
I got. I don't know. I don't think I have much to play with tonight.
but top three English blends.
Top three English blends.
There you
so,
go.
when we talk about English blends, let's define kind of what we're talking about here. So, a lot of folks, when they come in the Squire, they'll say, oh, well, I know you've got really good aromatic blends. What kind of English blends do you have? And a lot of times, people will use that term English blend as kind of synonymous with non-aromatic. And that's classically kind of what it was seen as. Basically, the name English blend came about for the 20th century. Most pipe tobaccos that were featured and made in Great Britain were not flavored with anything because before the late 1980s, you could not actually flavor pipe tobacco in the UK. So it was illegal to add any type of flavoring product to pipe tobacco, you know, in the UK. And so therefore, when people talked about, you know, English blends, they were talking about blends that did not have any kind of flavoring in them, just by virtue of
just
them,
like English, you know, food and English beer and English, I'm just kidding.
Things that, are you saying things that have no flavor, is that right?
Look, I kid.
Don't
because
say that about English beer.
Look, I'm a York. I love the English. I love the English.
So you've got, you know, you kind of had this, this era where blends that were sold and manufactured in England could not be flavored. And so people kind of, you know, that was just, you know, what you thought of as an English style blend was something that did not have flavor in it. So, like I said, in the late 80s, when that, regulation, I guess, went out where they could actually start introducing some flavor into these blends, English blends became eventually more synonymous with blends that feature Latakia. And so now, when you talk about an English blend, you're not really talking about all aromatics, but nowadays a proper well-versed tobacconist would say an English blend is something that features some degree of Latakia in it, which is kind of where people take that now. So, and then aside from English blends, think of it in kind of a big tent thing. On one side, you've got non-aromatics. On the other side, you've got aromatics. But then under the non-aromatics, you've got English blends and, you know, Virginias, Burleys, Periques, Orientals, Balkans, and all these other things. And people break them down in different ways.
Right.
So, but for the point of the English blend tonight, what we're discussing is something that refers to a blend that is featuring Latakia, where the Latakia is in the forefront of the blend. Typically,
so that's a prerequisite for tonight's top three?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So the Latakia is in the forefront. We're kind of defining English blend as that. A lot of times you'll have heavy, mild or, you know, medium flavored English blends that have kind of a level of robustness to it. And then also you've got blends that, and sometimes are going to be, they call them English aromatics, or I often refer to them as hybrid blends, you know?
So I've heard you say hybrids. English aromatics does sound a little bit like an oxymoron.
Yeah. Well, it kind of does. I think what most people are trying to go with there is they're saying this is a blend that is flavored and has some flavored elements in it, but also features that Latakia that just gives it kind of a nice smokiness. So
it's kind of almost like an evolution of flavors.
It's the same thing.
Okay.
But so you've got, these blends that are kind of in between, where you've got some flavored elements, maybe a Cavendish that's got a little vanilla on it, or, you know, some other sweet component there, and then mixed with that smoky Latakia. So so all those are kind of in with each other. But so we're talking about English blends tonight. We've got top three, and this is difficult for me for a few reasons, right?
You're an English guy.
I'm not an English guy. My name is English.
Well,
but I'm not an English smoker.
Okay,
yeah, I'm not an English smoker. I'm a Virginia smoker, and I'm a Perique smoker.
Yeah, but isn't that relatively new? Haven't you historically been an English guy until like a year ago?
I haven't typically ever turned to Latakia as a.
Why did you always make fun of me for not liking English?
I
or was that just more of a snob
thing?
You,
I think it was. was more of a non-aromatic thing.
Okay, all right. Because there is a snobbery that I've noticed, especially just in the pipe community overall when it comes to English, which is that, you know, oh, if you don't like English, then you don't like pipe tobacco.
Right,
you know, and so, like, there's
our live studio audience makes regular fun of us for not choking down buckets of Latakia each week.
Well, so speak for yourself. I've been enjoying a little bit of Latakia.
Well, no, that's great. And so now you like English blends. But,
there you go.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where the confusion can come in because, just because you don't like aromatics doesn't mean it puts you all of a sudden in the English category. It might put you in the Virginia category or a Perique or, you know, some type of Oriental or Burley. There are blends that feature the Oriental, you know, tobaccos where the Latakia might play a part in the blend, but the Latakia is in the background.
Huh?
And I'm much more prone to like those blends than I am the full English blend where you've got just a real heavy smokiness that's kind of up front. So,
all right.
So that's part of the difficulty here for me. So looking at it from my own standpoint, you've got the most popular English blends of all time.
Okay.
And then you've got, you know, kind of if I were to smoke the ones that I like the most and the ones that I see, you know, the people around me smoking the most that I probably have the most, you know, most favor towards, then it's like those English blends. So which ones do you pick?
Sure. Well, so anyway, if you can't be with the ones you love, smoke the ones you're with.
So, yeah. Did you just write like a sonnet or something? Is that what that was?
All right. So how are you going to do this? You're going to do 3-2-1 or 1-2? Let's go 3-2-1, right?
Let's do 3-2-1.
Okay.
Let's do 3-2-1. So I've got I'm going to go with my first kind of, you know, a view of this, which is going to be on the popularity scale and just what I think are the gold standards of English blends over the 20th century.
Okay. Right.
Now, included in this definition of English blend, you can kind of do the corollary or the addition of Balkan and Turkish tobaccos. So these are tobaccos that, you know, they might have, you know, other ingredients in them that might qualify them as like, you know, a Balkan style blend or something like that. But I'm putting this under the English category because when you smoke the tobacco, you're smoking, you're tasting Latakia. The Latakia is front and center.
Sure.
So
it punches you in the face.
Those are tobaccos that were you know, kind of going after here. So top three English blends of all time, certainly of the 20th century. Number three, I'm going to go with, this is interesting, Presbyterian mixture. Now, we've talked about Presbyterian mixture.
Whoa. You're putting Presbyterian Anglican. Presbyterian in your top three.
Yeah, in the English category. Yeah.
In the English, because Presbyterian, look, Presbyterian blend is a polarizing blend.
It is. But and I think it's almost for that reason that it gets so much discussion that I think it belongs in probably the top three of all time. So think about how much, you know, this has generated over time. Just the everyone's tried Presbyterian mixture at some point.
You gotta get on that.
It's ubiquitous. It's one of those that you're just gonna find in any pipe shop you walk into. So you know you have to try it. It's one of those that has a lot of different elements going on, but definitively it has been proven that this tobacco features Latakia in a very strange way. It does.
Uh-huh.
So it's a full body. This is a coarse cut tobacco.
Right.
There are Oriental and Turkish leaves in it as well. The story of the tobacco is really funny. It was made for the Reverend Dr. John White of Glasgow, Scotland, and he shared it with some of his buddies, and the tobacco kind of migrated. It was blended for him in Scotland, but the, you know, which they call it Presbyterian mixture because the Church of Scotland is, of course, a Presbyterian church.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of how that comes. You be aware of that. So somehow it migrated down to England, and it actually got popular because the Prime Minister Stanley Baldwin in the 1920s, Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, he started smoking this tobacco, and he found out that it came from this Church of Scotland pastor.
Right.
And he was like, well, we need to call this, you know, that Presbyterian mixture. It's that Presbyterian mixture.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's kind of how that came about. It's funny, the Presbyterian mixture, which was made for a Scot, is an English blend. I just think that's fascinating. I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
Oh, those English Imperials. That's all they do. They capture everybody else's, stick a flag in it. It's ours now.
It's milled with the finest tears of all its subjects. But anyway.
They would have had a Church of England blend, but they kept on killing off all the recipes as soon as they came up with them.
They sent him to the tower.
That's right. That's right.
That's terrible. I'm going to go cry. Yeah, so you know, I think with Presbyterian mixture...
Dug deep, it was basically just that Catholic blend, just not as strong.
You can do basically whatever you want to do with the blend, just don't block the aisle.
All right.
You cannot block the aisle.
That's all. No more jokes. I apologize.
So anyway, you've got Presbyterian mixture. It's got a lot going on. There's just a wild variety of tobaccos in this, but the consensus is this is an English blend. It's one of those that is ubiquitous. Everyone's tried it at some point, and it's, although it is polarizing, it's one of those that I think a lot of folks have really taken to, and have also, you know, put on their, you know, if this is a top 10 tobacco that you've got to try, mm-hmm. if you want to know what it's like to be a pipe smoker, I think in most people's list, Presbyterian mixture would make that list. So number three on top three English blends of all time, I put a Presbyterian.
Fair enough. Like yeah. I said, you got to try it. You don't have a choice.
Dunhill 965 is number two. And this one I think is obvious. I kind of went back and forth between a few Dunhill blends on this, but you know, obviously you've got the connection to people like William Faulkner, who smoked some of the finest of Dunhill tobaccos. Of course, I think he had his own mixture as well. But my mixture 965 is just synonymous with clean, standard, full English blend. You know, you open the tin, nice ribbon cut, you know, full-bodied blend, just got a really bold tin note. But when you smoke it, you're getting medium to heavy Latakia, you know, just a dash of that Oriental, and then what they describe as the brown Cavendish, which is kind of in the background. So it's got kind of a nutty flavor. It's full to medium bodied. When you know, as far as the strength of it goes with the smoke, the like any good English blend, it makes the room smell like sin, which we love. And you know, it's and again, it has that strong tin note that you can kind of come out with. So I went back and forth between a few Englishes, and I landed on the Dunhill for our top three.
It's not surprising. I mean, honestly, that's one that I feel like would be far less contested than something like a Presbyterian brand.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, now that's a strong number two pick.
Yeah, strong number two. Number one, this might have a few detractors of itself, of its own, but I thought it was worthy of it, and that is Balkan Sobrani. Now, Balkan Sobrani, done, if I'm remembering correctly, one of the we actually did an episode. I think we featured it in a tobacco talk.
Was it was it Esquire Select?
Many, many moons ago. Yeah, it could have been Esquire Select, but I know we've talked about Balkan Sobrani.
Okay, yeah.
At length in the past, and so Balkan Sobrani, interesting tobacco, probably the most storied English blend of the 20th century, and one that, you know, over the years, lots and lots of tobacconists tried to replicate, particularly as the blend itself changed with the availability of different tobaccos coming in and out. So Balkan Sobrani, obviously a very complex blend, hard to get. It's one of those that was, you know, ubiquitous, you know, certainly during from the 40s to the late 60s, and then it kind of went out of favor, and then even was shuttered for a season. Now it's you know, back open, and you know, being blended. And I just think it's one of those that, you know, obviously the English blend, the Balkan Sobrani of today is different than it was of 50 years ago, but it is one of those that I think you have to honor as probably the gold standard of 20th century English blend.
Strong words.
It is. It is a strong word to say, but I would put it there. You know, runners up with this, and it's hard to even describe these tobaccos as runners up, but, you know, another Dunhill tobacco, the Dunhill Nightcap, which is going to have more of that robust Latakia flavor. You know, people, when they want that, you know, solid, you know, real thick smoke before they go to bed, a lot of times they'll turn to that Nightcap. Esoterica Penzance, another kind of polarizing tobacco, but one that obviously has a lot of popularity, and that is that is seen in evidence, you know, primarily just by how expensive it is,
yeah,
and how hard it is to get.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's one of those. I've got some.
Yeah. Oh, I've got some.
but
you can't have any, but I'll sell it to you.
That's the thing. Like, I've been saving it for you know, a special occasion, and
yeah,
it's just, even then, when special occasions arise, it's like, Is it special enough?
Yeah, and the Penzance is interesting to me.
It's going to taste terrible, isn't it?
Well,
I've yet to try it.
The thing is, like, it's good. It's a good English blend.
Got those crystals.
It is. It's got those little
crystals.
Yeah, the little crystals that grow on top of
you.
The Penzance, it's a good blend. I'm not a Latakia smoker, so I'm not one of these people that just nerds out on, you know, premium you know, which one is better than the other one. But I think Penzance, the allure of it is, I must say, I might take some heat for this, but I think it's a lot like a Cuban cigar. You just can't get it, Bo. You just can't find one.
And that's what makes it special.
And I think that's what, you know, when people get it, it's a great blend. I mean, Jermaine does a really good job with, you know, blending these tobaccos, and all the Esoterica stuff is just fantastic. But, I think, would I put it in the top three English blends of all time? Probably not.
When I bust open my Penzance, I am going to smoke it on, like, I'll probably do a Periscope.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this, but I intended to actually smoke my Penzance on International Pipe Smoking Day. But then my buddy that I was supposed to smoke it with didn't show up, and I couldn't get a hold of him, so I ended up saving it.
You should probably do it on on the Pirate Day.
Pirates of Penzance.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Maybe we could have another Pirates episode.
Yeah, I've got a special occasion lined up for it that hopefully will be coming in the next couple of days, if not a couple of weeks. But one way or the other, I'll be busting out.
That's exciting.
Okay, so you did. So Penzance, though, contested.
Yeah, I would say these are ones that are like, you know, if I personally had to go with like the tobaccos that made the bubble.
No, they were in consideration.
But, so you had Penzance Nightcap, Balkan Sassini. Balkan Sassini obviously is excellent tobacco in its own right, and it was made as, I guess you'd say, a clone of Balkan Sobrani. Balkan Sobrani kind of went out of favor and eventually was quit being manufactured, and then Sassini came along as kind of a tobacco in the spirit of Balkan Sobrani. And now, actually, I've got a lot of customers at the Squire that would prefer Balkan Sassini over Balkan Sobrani any day of the week. Yeah. So, and then Squadron Leader, a great tobacco by Sam Gaywitt that has just been around forever that we know and love. So, at the Squire, we've got Squire English blends as well.
Yeah, which you intentionally kind of take out of the running because you're the one responsible for most of them. Now, yeah. I guess the English blends, though. Let's see. You've got you blended up a Bag End, right? Bag End's
That's
an English
right.
blend.
Well, I tend to call it more of an
hybrid.
It's more of a Scottish style or Oriental mixture.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because it features the Orientals more than it does the Latakia.
Okay,
but,
fair enough.
But in the English kind of category, I've got Bowser's Castle, Baker Street, and Cornishman. Baker Street, I think, would be probably our best seller currently of the Squire blends that are English blends. It's a heavy English, smokes cool. It has some Perique in it, so it's got plenty of strength. But it's one of those, its bark is kind of louder than its bite. You smell it and you're like, oh, this is going to be strong. And then you smoke it and you're like, oh, it's kind of flavorful and sweet. It's real nice. But Bowser's Castle, obviously, our fullest English. It's actually got some Oriental leaf in it too, and lots of real dark, rich, velvety Virginias in there that kind of set it off. And then Cornishmen are our most classic English blend. Been with us for 46 years now, and just a real mild English. You might compare it to like a Throgmorton or something like that. So now that I've talked about the ones the Squire has, and also the top three of all time, I have to talk about my personal favorite English blend.
Why did you put that in the top three?
Because I'm going based on the
popular demand. I understand.
Yeah, well, and you know, you want
crowd pleasers.
You kind of want to go with like what's going to be like the most historic kind of thing. I don't know. There's that part of me that wants to honor like ones that, you know, are the best of all time kind of thing.
Look, I get it. I'm just saying
I don't know.
People come to this show.
I want everyone to like
John
me.
David Cole's recommendation.
I want everyone to like me.
So we've had the top three, but what's your real top number one?
So just if it were me and I had to pull for an English blend, Baker Street from the Country Squire would be number one.
All right.
Followed very shortly after by Throgmorton on the Bayou.
Oh, that's some good stuff.
Now Throgmorton Bayou is fantastic.
Yes.
And really, the Throgmorton series probably should have been on the bubble as well. I didn't put it there.
Are they all Englishes?
But all the Throgmorton series feature Latakia.
Yeah, okay.
So I put all of them in the English category. They've got different variations of that, but it's all very heavy Latakia. And even though they say heavy, I mean, certainly it's there, but it's a... These are tobaccos that aren't going to kick your tail. You know, you're going to smoke them and just get a real pleasant kind of mellowness to them. But the Throgmorton Bayou is great. It's got that Perique in it, which I just think is real fantastic. The Cellar, Throgmorton Cellar, is probably our best Cellar.
I love Cellar.
And it's really good. And then also just regular Throgmorton. So Baker Street, Throgmorton Bayou, and then wrapping it up, I have to say Westminster by our friend Greg Peace at GL Peace Tobacco.
Yeah,
Westminster, full-bodied English, got probably the most English of any, most Latakia of any tobacco that I enjoy. And it's one of those that's just rich and full. And it's one of those I can turn to occasionally and really enjoy. But over and above that, on the Latakia spectrum, I'm tapping out.
What a mess. So here's the top three.
Here's
my personal pick. Yeah. And here's all these other great ones as well.
Right. So that's what you get.
Yeah. That's good. No.
That's someone that's trying to please a lot of people and also pick the top three of, like, you know, some of the most storied tobaccos of all time.
You're going to learn from this, man. You can't please all the people all the time. You're going to have a bunch of people write in saying, you forgot my favorite English blend, which is such and such. That's why you get three and you stick with three. I don't know. Here's what we're going to do, though. We're going to post it up on Facebook because we want to know what you guys think. What are your favorite English blends? So we'll be posting that up this week on the Facebook page. So head over to Facebook. Let us know what your thoughts are. We'd love to get that. Man, what a excellent, man. I think comprehensive is the best way to describe.
I think that was most comprehensive, Bo.
Oh, yes, quite, wasn't it?
Can you pour me some more Scotch whiskey?
That's my English. Yeah, I was going to head to the pub and drink warm beer. Warm, disgusting beer, like the English.
Not that the English are warm and disgusting, just that's the way they like their beer.
That's the way they like their beer. No, dude.
Look, those of you out in London that I'm going to see when I go out there in a couple of months, y'all don't hate on me for this.
Yeah, let's show him a beer that's actually decent. There's lots of good English beer. I'm looking
forward to it. Did you see that Guinness has like an American lager now?
I saw that. It didn't sit right with me.
I feel like it's there to make fun of me.
It might be.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm intentionally not drinking it.
It's
for that
like
reason.
here's a Guinness, but you know, for you people that like to play pretend.
Yeah, here's your baby beer.
Right.
It
comes with the little bottle with one of those rubber nipple things on top.
Yes, we have to satisfy the Americans, don't we? Actually, Guinness is
Irish.
Let's
make something that tastes like crap. Right.
Irish, got to satisfy the Americans.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. All you have to do is mumble it. McGillicuddy and my mother in the pub where I was born. I don't know the words.
You did a great job.
Nope. But I'll tell you somebody who does a great job.
Yes.
The good folks at Missouri Meerschaum.
Man, they sure do.
Hey, look, we've talked about a lot of great English blends, but you know what? You also need a good pipe to enjoy them, man.
That's right.
And the great things about Missouri Meerschaum that we found since they've been sponsoring the show for, gosh, several episodes now is that a lot of you people, as y'all have been sending in pictures and letting us know that that you've enjoyed Missouri Meerschaum, we're discovering that for many of you, Missouri Meerschaum was your first pipe.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got a new pipe sponsoring this particular episode from the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum. And I want you to do something for me real quick. Close your eyes.
Yeah.
While you're listening to this right now, everybody, close your eyes. You got your eyes closed?
I'm joining in on
this. Okay, good. All right, clear your mind. Clear your mind. There's nothing there. All right, now in your mind, right now, picture a corncob pipe, okay? That's basically the Washington pipe.
Oh, man.
All right, so here's the deal. The Washington pipe from Missouri Meerschaum is I can only describe it as a classic corncob pipe look.
Yeah.
I mean, when you do close your eyes and visualize a corncob pipe, it's the shape that comes to mind. I think for most people, I'm curious to know what you think about this.
Absolutely.
But if you do happen to have a Washington from Missouri Meerschaum, we want you to take a picture of it. Go ahead and bust it out. Smoke it this week. Take a selfie. We know we love sharing those out on Twitter whenever we get those in.
Yep. The Washington, of course, has a lot in common with the Legend, with that kind of amber stem, but with the black, more ebonite style looking stem, it's just a little more classic look. And again, Washington, the Washington corn cob, named obviously after our first president, but also Washington, Missouri, where our friends at Missouri Meerschaum is based. So
we love our friends at Missouri Meerschaum, and we love you guys for supporting them.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, pipe question of the week this week is coming in to us from, man, an old time listener right here, Mike Flucher.
Dude, love hearing from Mike. It's great.
All right, he writes in, he says, have either of you had a pipe come apart while you were smoking it, meaning that the tenon
yes.
was so loose from the shank that it just slipped out. I have a pipe with a very loose stem, and I'm worried it might fall out at any time. I know you guys mentioned a few times in the past about how to fix this. Figured I'd ask, because we weren't all masters when we started this hobby, and wondered if this has ever happened. Again, this is from our good boy, Mike Flucher.
Yeah. Mike, thanks for writing in, brother. It's always good to hear from you. One of the most probably embarrassing moments of my life as a pipe smoker was when I thought I was pulling my pipe out of my mouth to make a point. In a conversation I was having on my front porch. But as I pulled the bowl away from my face, the bowl went away from my face, but the mouthpiece stayed in my mouth.
And, Did that happen?
Yeah, so it's
that's beautiful.
I mean, yeah, just imagine holding a bowl and then you're, you know, got this straw hanging out of your mouth. And yeah, it was just, it was humiliating. And so, yes, I've had a pipe come out mid-smoke, and you know, it's certainly frustrating. I think we talk about the loose shank a lot. That's something that folks come to us with a lot. And obviously, if you listen to the podcast for a long time, you've heard me at some point mention beeswax. And that's kind of my first stop when it comes to tightening a stem on a pipe up. So typically what I'll do, go to your local farmer's market. It's really one of the few places you can find beeswax anymore, unless you order it from somewhere on the internet. But, you know, get you a block of beeswax. It's really hard stuff. It's kind of surprising. Take your pocket knife or something that you can kind of get off a little piece, and then take that beeswax and just kind of very, it's going to be hard, but you're going to smear it around the tenon of your pipe. And so just smear it real delicately, but you know, you're going to have to put some pressure on it to get around there as hard around the tenon as you can. What I do is I'll shove it, once I've got the beeswax around the tenon, I'll put it back into the pipe, kind of seat it. And then I'll actually, if it's still loose, I'll pull it out again and do that again, or maybe even three times, until I've kind of got just a good amount of beeswax kind of stuck in between that tenon and the mortise hole down there. So eventually, if you let that sit for a while and then smoke it a couple times without moving the tenon at all, your pipe will tighten up some. And I've actually had a lot of success with using that beeswax on very loose stems.
Now, this is assuming that it is loose. It's not broken.
Yeah, no, that's right. If you do have a broken stem, you know, that's something that you're just going to have to, you know, have to get fixed. And a pipe repair person will be able to drill that out. We've obviously got recommendations for that, both here at the shop and abroad. And so, you know, they can drill a tenon out, replace the tenon, or, you know, replace the whole stem if you like. But, the beeswax is stop one for me personally. Number two, you can, they make these really cool little sets. They're a little more cumbersome to use, and you have to be careful because you can damage your stem. But, they make these sets of pins, these tapered pins that you can shove in the end of the tenon. And then as you heat the tenon, like maybe over a candle, or maybe even some people use like boiling water, you gotta be real careful with this. But as you heat the tenon, that tapered pin, you can shove it up in there further and further, and it'll kind of expand that, you know, the vulcanite the ebonite that has gotten too loose. And so, and once you expand that pin kind of up in there, it'll make it to where it tightens up a little bit, and then you can pull the pin out and immediately use it. So that's another option for you. For me, you know, I'm a beeswax guy. That's kind of where I turn to.
Hey, mind your own beeswax, man.
Yeah, do that. Pull, and just don't use your own earwax, okay, Beard?
Beard cord.
Okay, Beard.
Beard cord. Don't use your beard wax.
No, don't do that.
great suggestion and great question, Mike. Man, we love hearing from you. And we'd love to hear from you as well. If you go over to csr@potastery.com, send us your pipe question of the week. We'll answer it here on the show.
Quick fire with the Squire.
My question.
Bring it.
All right. This one comes in from friend of the show, Danny Vasquez.
Man, always good to hear from Danny.
Man, how is Danny? Have you talked to Danny anytime?
You know, he was actually here in Jackson not too long ago. It was great. Got to sit down and...
Why would you come to Jackson? You never tell me you're coming to Jackson.
You're always busy. You got stuff going on.
You never even checked. I mean, probably, but you never even checked.
No, that's true. That's true.
Danny, come next time you're here, let me know. I'll buy you a burger.
Danny had a great visit here. We sat around the tobacco bar here at the Country Squire and broke bread and told a lot of tall tales and fishing stories and had a good crew here the day he was in. So anyway, love Danny from Ames, Iowa.
Giant in the pipe community and just a giant in general.
He's a giant.
Very tall man. All right, here you go. Ready for this?
Yeah, bring it.
Bacon or bacon?
Which one of those two is the kind that's fried in the skillet but then covered in like the candy, like the brown sugar?
I think it's the bacon.
It's the bacon.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I like the one that's not covered in the candy, all the candied bacon, but I don't know.
Go for the bacon.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with bacon.
Yeah, go for the bacon. I'm gonna have to agree with you on that one. I was tempted to say both, and but no, I'll go with the bacon.
Yeah, bacon.
I'll go with the bacon. Sausage patty or sausage link?
Sausage link.
all the way.
I'm a link guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The patty, like, there are times when I like that, but I think the link is more pleasing to me.
There are times when I like that at lunch and dinner on a burger because that's what it is. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's a cheat. It's like, hey, look, this is a very small,
oh, like
flat
a hamburger.
Burger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, because you can have sausage burgers.
Well, you can. Not, well, yeah. You,
oh, my gosh. Have you never had one? They're delicious.
No, I have, but it's like a, there's a spiciness to it that I think sets it apart, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I would rather have that in a link than I would in a
yeah, no, if we're talking breakfast, I'm a sausage link all the way.
Yeah.
All right, pulled pork or tenderloin, talking about a sandwich here.
Pulled pork sandwich or tenderloin sandwich? I'm going to have to go with pulled pork. Being a child of the South, I do like tenderloin. Yeah, I got to go with pulled pork, though.
Yeah. Would brisket be considered a tenderloin?
No.
Then I'm going to go with pulled pork.
Yeah, that's something totally different.
Absolutely. Honey baked ham or, well, bacon.
Or bacon. I got to go with bacon, but in a close second place, honey baked ham.
Oh, in a very, very far second, not even really considered placed, I'd say honey baked ham there. No, bacon all the way. Bacon. Actually, what I thought at first he was going to go bacon versus all of these things.
Yeah.
But that might be kind of boring because we just choose bacon.
You know what's funny about how this ties into our topic tonight? Like, you know, English blends, so many people, the first time they ever smoke an English blend or certainly smell an English blend, they always talk about how it reminds them of barbecue or how it reminds them. It's kind of has a smell when you, I'll never
like
forget
mesquite-ness
the,
to it.
The first time I opened a tin of Frogmorton, I just remember smelling like a barbecue charcoal grill. Like, you know, kind of, you just feel like you're just smoking, you know, grilling some kind of meat or steak or something. I don't know. So
delicious.
Yeah, it's so good.
Actually, you know, the reason I asked about the Frogmorton early on is because, was it Frogmorton? Is it cellar that has that kind of meat pie-ness to it?
Well,
or is that Frogmorton?
No, the cellar, they all kind of have that, but the cellar is the one that was obviously aged in the whiskey barrel.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep. Oh, my gosh, it's so good.
And when you open it, you know what's cool, if you ever open a can of it, you see it's got a stave of the whiskey barrel actually in there. It's like an actual charred piece of the oak barrel that's in the can.
It's good.
It's pretty special.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'll take that with bacon.
With bacon.
Great questions, Danny. Really appreciate those. Hey, if you got some quick fire questions for us, you can send them in csr@podastery.com. Got some great listener feedback in, but hey, first let's make mention of a great, great tobacco sponsoring the show. That, of course, Peter Stokeby Luxury Bullseye Flake from our good friends at STG and Lane. Now, let me tell you something here about this this wonderful, wonderful poker chip styled tobacco.
Yeah, it really kind of does look like a poker chip.
Look, it's a gorgeous looking tobacco. I mean, we've talked about this before. It's an attractive tobacco.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, you know, I'm a married man, but I can acknowledge it's an attractive tobacco.
Yeah, yeah. There's something about opening, you know, your pouch of Stokeby Luxury Bullseye Flake and seeing those medallions with just a real
beautiful,
crisp center of Black Cavendish there in the middle, surrounded by the Virginias and Burleys that just make it so tasty. And so anyway, I think, you know, it certainly, like all the other tobaccos we've talked about tonight, it's one of those that if you haven't tried, you know, you haven't really gone the full spectrum of those classic pipe tobaccos.
That's right.
We certainly highly recommend you try it. The Peter Stokeby Luxury Bullseye Flake from our friends at Scandinavian Tobacco Group.
Yeah, and if you've got some, take a picture of it before you break it apart. Take a picture of it, because, I mean, there's really, it's such a cool pattern. So send that in too as well. And hey, we want to thank the good folks over there at Lane and STG for helping make this show happen.
And if you can smoke Luxury Bullseye Flake without tearing it apart, tell us how you do that.
Yeah, I was about to say, is that even possible?
I want to know how you do that. There are people that do that. And I think they might be witches. I think
if you're a witch, let us know.
It might take some type of supernatural power.
You know what it is?
In order to, you know, I'm just saying.
Maybe that's what, remember when we had Russ Hicks on?
Yeah.
And he was walking us through the artwork that he had did. There was one of a witch who was being burned in Salem while she was smoking a pipe.
She was smoking the bullseye flake.
Russ, was that right? Let us know. Let us know.
I'm just saying, I think to smoke that successfully without tearing it apart requires some type of supernatural power. Moving right along.
She got better.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
Got a great comment in YouTube. This one's coming in from Jordan, who says, my family makes biscuits. Oh my gosh. Forgot about this. Yeah, we got hammered last week.
How come?
Well, because of the gravy thing. We didn't know. First of all, we're from the South, and we got this gravy thing mixed up.
Okay.
But apparently chocolate gravy means chocolate gravy.
Like gravy that, like actual chocolate.
I guess. And then red gravy. I've never heard of such things. Red gravy means like gravy from ham. Like some sort of ham gravy.
I've never heard of any of this.
This is not our wheelhouse.
There's either brown gravy or that white gravy that you put over a biscuit.
Which is gross. I'm sorry. I do not.
Come on, dude. What is wrong with you?
I know. Everybody loves it. I can't stand it. Jordan writes
in. You don't like boiled peanuts either, do you?
It depends on the day. Sometimes.
Communist.
Jordan writes in. He says, my family makes biscuits and chocolate gravy for most holidays. And by chocolate, we mean actually making it from cocoa, sugar, and milk.
I had no idea.
He says it has the same consistency as the old gravy, but is indeed chocolate. And then a couple of other folks mentioned on Facebook about the ham gravy thing.
Interesting. I had no idea. That's awesome.
Look, I'm glad that y'all are keeping us on. I mean, gosh, you know, y'all give us credit for teaching you guys stuff.
We need gravy experts out there.
Y'all are teaching us so much.
Well, you didn't know how to eat cornbread and milk before our radio show.
So that's a blast from the past.
We need
to do
that again.
We do.
Oh, man.
Next one in is an email we got. Can you read that one for us?
I sure get this from Tyler Bradford. He says, my name is Tyler. I've been listening to your show for a while now and finally made it through all the episodes. I live in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Beautiful city. Woo! Love Chattanooga. And I'm a truck parts delivery driver. So I get to listen to you guys for about 8 hours a day throughout the work week. So it didn't take long for me to get through all your episodes. I found myself laughing for the most part. You both are very enjoyable to listen to, until we're doing the British accents. I also love that you guys talk faith and philosophy, as well as some nerd talk, which I love. Boy, we got plenty of that. And I can't believe you're able to come up with new material each week. Just amazing. I've been pipe smoking off and on for the past few years and have finally decided to carve my own pipe. Man, that's great. So your most recent episode was timed perfectly. It became one of my favorite episodes. Man. I got to ask Bo, what did you think about the Rogue One trailer? One more thing. One reason I love your show is that it makes me feel like I'm there hanging out with you. Some of my best friends have moved away, so I don't get to see them as often as I'd like. So you give me the chance to feel like I'm in the same room with you as my best buds. I'm tearing up a little bit. Keep doing what you're doing. You guys are awesome. Thanks for taking the time to read this, Tyler Bradford. Brother, man, what a great honor. Yeah. Thank you so much. And by the way, like before I let Bo comment on the Rogue One trailer, if you feel that way, we have accomplished exactly what we set out to do, which is engage, you know, our good friends across the world, just in a way where it's like you're here, you know, and we get to, you know, have this community, almost like your own tobacconist, but you know, wherever you're at. And so, that's why we like to have this set up where you're, you know, if you're watching live, you're viewing us right across from the tobacco bar with the tobaccos behind us. And, you know, this is home. So treat this like your living room. And, man, we're glad we're a part of your life.
Yeah. Tyler, I can totally relate to after I got married, my wife and I moved to Memphis and I didn't know anybody there. And so listening to podcasts was, I mean, there was a sense of, you know, community that came with that and a sense of kind of feeling like, you know, you had this kind of connection with the podcasters you were listening to. So I totally appreciate what you're saying, man. That's awesome, brother. Thanks so much for being a friend and listening. Yeah. Rogue One. Have you seen this?
I have.
Did you really?
I actually saw the trailer.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, so I woke up. I think it was this morning. Actually, I was reading CNN or something, you know, some news source in the morning. Uh-huh. I get up and kind of bleary eyed, drink my coffee, and I was like, they had like some thing that said like Star Wars spinoff trailer debuts or something. I clicked on it. I was like, oh, that's a thing.
I'm glad that Tyler asked about this because
yeah,
I wanted to talk about
really,
it on the show.
I enjoyed it.
I mean, I was not. I did not think I was going to be this excited for this movie until I saw the trailer. And then something about like you go in and you know there's a feel.
It's really
it.
That hard to get any of us excited about something to do a Star Wars.
Well, but like this isn't like the traditional Skywalker lineage.
No,
you know
it's
what
very
I mean?
Different.
Like this is outside the normal scope. But I mean, like so this is technically a prequel, by the way, because it does take place before the
original. Before A New Hope. Right?
Yeah, 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 yeah. And I mean, like you know, they're on Yavin. You can see, like the base that they're on feels very much kind of like that last Act 3 of A New Hope. And
yeah.
Oh my gosh, when Mon Mothma. Is there.
Bless you.
No, don't you dare. Mon Mothma. You know who I'm talking about, right?
No.
Many Bothans died to bring us this information.
Oh, yeah, that person.
No. Okay, so this is really crazy. She looks, by the way, this actress they got looks exactly like the actress from the old trilogy.
Okay, so different actress.
It's a different actress. Interestingly enough, though, she did portray Mon Mothma in a deleted scene from Revenge of the Sith.
Okay.
As kind of a younger Mon Mothma, and she looks the part. Like, Honestly, the whole thing
Mon
looks...
Mon Mothma five times five.
Mon Mothma.
No, don't.
Okay. I'll do it. The whole thing looks fantastic. It's got my nostalgia going big time. There was something about seeing Mon Mothma that really... That did it for me. I was like, okay, I am in 1,000%. There's something special about this. The new character looks great. There's a lot of speculation about her. I would not be surprised if the name that we've heard for her ends up being just a code name. I think she's a double agent. I think she actually is an Imperial. My guess is she might end up being Mara Jade. And for some of you out there, you know what that name means.
Golly.
So anyway, I'm just putting that out there.
I like Star Wars, but you lost me.
Took you too far?
You lost me at Mon Mothma. All right. Anyway,
If we lost you, we lost a large portion of our audience. So that's my thoughts on it. We'll move along.
Yeah. But move along. Cool trailer. Yeah. Check out the Rogue One trailer if you haven't seen it yet. So do you hear the Niagara Falls coming through our front door?
Yeah, fortunately not too bad.
I'm just saying, like, it this place is a dive.
I mean, it's charming. I think that's what you're supposed to say.
Yeah, people pay good money for that rotten wood up front, you know? Like me, paying the rent for this shop.
It's charm, man. It's
that's
good.
Right. That's
good.
Right.
Nick in the Valley writes in on iTunes. He says, you can tell these guys know each other and are used to hanging out and talking. The conversation flows naturally with great transitions and structure, i.e., it sounds like you've dropped in on a friendly conversation in the shop. Importantly, the content is awesome. These guys cover topics related to pipe smoking, tobacco, that I can't find anywhere else. I'm glad a friend introduced me to the show, and keep it up. Nick in the Valley, thank you so much.
Thanks, brother. We appreciate that a bunch.
Absolutely. And so glad that one of your friends turned you on to the show. You know, we've mentioned it before in the past. We really probably should mention it every single episode. But, you know, one of the greatest things that you can do for the show is not just head over to iTunes and write us a review, but tell your friends. I mean, you know, when you go to your local pipe shop, ask, you know, hey, do you listen to Country Squire Radio? You should check it out. When you're hanging out with your friends, if you know a friend that smokes a pipe, mention it. You know, if you know a friend that you're not sure whether or not they smoke a pipe, mention Country Squire Radio. It's a great entry level for a lot of folks.
We've actually gotten a lot of folks that you'd be surprised that have started listening to the show before they smoked a pipe, just because they thought it was an interesting concept. And then, you know, because the nature of our conversations here, have given it a shot. And now, I mean, some of those people we're in contact with regularly. It's really fascinating.
It is interesting, the percentage of folks that listen to the show that don't actually smoke a pipe.
Yeah, but my interests are the ones that we convert. I baptize you in the name of Latakia and Parikh and Virginia's.
Doing the whole tobacco Jesus thing, man. Bring it back home. Oh my gosh. Hey guys, we love y'all checking out the show, heading over to iTunes, writing us those reviews, checking us out on the Satchel podcast player as well. And you know what? We love keeping up with you throughout the week. If you haven't done so already, you should be following us on Twitter at Squire Radio. You can follow us personally as well. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
All that contact information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com, like when you can tune in to the show. In fact, you can tune in every single Monday night at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. That is 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. We'd love for you guys to tune in, tweet into the show while you're watching. I saw somebody throw up a poll on whose English accent was worse, so I can't wait to find out the results of that.
You know, frankly, Bo, I'll be disappointed if I win.
yeah, so will I.
I think you win. I forfeit.
Nice. I like it. But like, guys, so check it out, CountrySquireRadio.com for all that information. Yeah, and Chicago. So close. 2 weeks away.
Man, it's
3 weeks
there.
Away? Two and a half weeks. Yeah.
We're on the knocking on the door, man. Also, thanks to Danny for giving us some great quickfire questions tonight. I'm actually smoking my Bird and Bear pipe that Danny made himself tonight. By complete coincidence, actually.
I was with you when you bought that, wasn't I?
Yeah, we were sitting, we were about to go meet with our friends at Lane,
STG,
at Lane and Scandinavian Tobacco Group. And I was in a booth at a restaurant. Y'all were eating
terrible steak.
Terrible steak.
Oh, if you can even call it steak.
And yeah, I think it was alive at some point. And I spent a goodly sum, but well worth it on this this beautiful smoking machine.
It's a beautiful pipe, man.
It's Danny great. Y'all be sure to check out Danny's work at Bird and Bear. I believe it's birdandbear.us.
All right, man. Well, let's go ahead and put on our scuba gear, and hey, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.